following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
God, you are good. Lord, and just as we just spent this last time, what gifted musicians that we got the blessing of listening to this morning and worshiping along with. But the center really is not them, Lord. It is those lyrics and our hearts focused and centered upon you. And Lord, what better time than in the coming of your Son to this earth, the incarnation, we call it. Lord, what an amazing, incredible time for us as those who walk with you to focus our attention upon you. And may we do that this morning. Lord, would you just center our hearts and minds on you? We know that it can happen, Lord, by the power of your Spirit and the opening of your word. So we're going to do that this morning. Thanks for the opportunity you give us. Amen. Take a look at this video.
Hey, Ed, come check out my North Star Christmas tree topper. It levitates.
Is this a gummy bear?
Yeah, we lost baby Jesus. Hey, check out these LED lights. I have them synced up to a 76-hour all Christmas music playlist.
There's my little Christmas DJ.
Ow. So, are you waiting till Christmas is over so you can go buy a new nativity set when they're on sale?
Huh? No. We lost baby Jesus like 11 years ago.
Is baby Jesus always a gummy bear?
No. We trade it out every year. Yeah, like last year it was a tiny troll doll. And the year before that we used a dog treat. They were the perfect size, but Dalton kept taking them and eating them.
You mean your dog kept stealing them?
No, my son Dalton. He loves those dog treats. Especially the peanut butter ones. There was one year that we used a doll head. That was creepy. We made a modeling clay baby Jesus. So the dog took that one too. One year we got desperate and used an ice cube. That was a miss and a mess. Yeah, just seems like everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never lasts.
Say that again.
Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to last.
And
what?
Say it again, slowly.
Why?
Just do it, Dulcimo. Slowly, do it.
I don't understand what's happening.
Just do it.
This is getting weird.
Say it!
Fine! But when I'm done saying this, you're gonna march in here and you're gonna watch my star levitate.
I'm fine. Do it.
Fine. Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to... Oh, yep, there it is. Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The blue gummy bear. What's the point? What's the point of the video? That there's nothing that can ever replace Jesus. And yet, on a continual basis, we find things that replace Jesus. We all have blue gummy bears, right? That come in to our Christmas season, that try to climb up into the manger, right? And try to take the place of Jesus. And we all have them. I don't know what it is for you, whether it's a pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks or whatever that might be, the change of season, that warm feeling you get when Christmas comes around and we know the presents are coming. I made a list of many things that in our, if we're not careful, we'll begin to replace Jesus in our lives. There we go, in our Christmas lives. Here it is. Work parties, friends and families, ugly Christmas sweaters. You all have an ugly Christmas sweater? I've got one of those. White elephant gifts, music, Christmas music, Christmas lights, Christmas trees, Christmas gifts, Christmas trips and travel. Some people like to travel during the holidays. Family Christmas traditions. Oh, we have to do this. It's Christmas, right? Baking, shopping, or as I'm affectionately terming, Amazoning, right? It's called Amazoning now. I haven't heard that anywhere else, so go ahead and use that. It's for free. Amazoning. Here's the thing. Those are all blue gummy bears. They will all take our attention away from the focus of Jesus. Now, here's the reality. I love Christmas. I really do. I love the warm feeling. I don't really love pumpkin spice lattes, but I love the drinks of the season. I love all those things. I have Christmas tree lights on my house, right? But these are all things, if we're not careful, will take over the reason for the season in our lives. That we have to be careful that we do not replace what is irreplaceable with things that are replaceable. Let me say it again. We have to be careful that we don't replace what is irreplaceable, which is the eternal Son of God, with something that is replaceable, i.e. blue gummy bears, right? Here's for example, a couple of years ago, my daughter, who I won't name, there's only two of them, so you'd have a 50-50 shot at them, right? They wanted a baby alive doll. Like, that was the thing she wanted more than anything else. I want a baby alive doll. That's the only thing I really want, right? And we all have a baby alive doll of some level, right? I mean, guys, we don't have a baby alive doll, but we have something that we can remember that we really, really wanted. I have to have it. I remember growing up, for me, this is going to date me, but G.I. Joe was like the thing. Star Wars figures were the thing. He-Man, oh, I had to have the He-Man, the castle. Oh, I had to have it. It was like, oh, I really want this. My daughter really wanted the baby alive doll. But you know what? You know where I got this last night? In a box, on a shelf, in the garage, right? That's how much it lasted, right? It only lasted for a short time and then it was gone. You know what? Baby alive is replaceable. And so are many of the things that we will ask for and desire and covet this Christmas. Though even the feelings and the emotions, those will be fleeting. They are replaceable. And oftentimes we will forget Him that is irreplaceable. The person who is irreplaceable. And I'm just going to say another warning sign on this. I love Christmas. I love doing gifts. I have Christmas trees. I have a light. I have Christmas tree lights. So I'm not against Christmas by any means. But I do think that if I'm not careful, I will begin to move Jesus out and all the things of Christmas in. I want to look this morning at three texts, three sections of Scripture revolving around the coming of Jesus. So they're Christmas, traditional Christmas texts. And I want to make 8 quick, brief points off of those 3 texts. So if you're a note taker, you want to write it down like this. 3 Bible passages, 8 quick, brief points. So just number 1 through 8, and you'll know where we are all the time. It's a great thing. Note takers have found the secret. I already know where the guy is in the message all the time if I just take notes. And he said there's 8 points. So if we're on 2, I know there's 6 more. If they're on 5, there's 3 more. And when we get to 8, I'll know. So just write down 1 through 8, 8 points, 3 texts. First text, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. These 3 accounts are all accounts of the first people that got to hear about the coming of this baby, right? There's a mom, there's a kind of a dad, he's not really the dad kind of guy, and then there is a bunch of shepherds. So we're going to look at 3 different accounts. Account number 1 is the account to mom, to Mary. Look at verse 26, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to be a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." How incredible is that? Angel comes to you at night. "Hey, you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will be overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Incredible, incredible news given by the angel Gabriel to Mary. Now, here's one of the amazing things. This isn't point one yet, note taker, so hold off on that, right? The amazing account is that this angel Gabriel comes to Mary. Now, Gabriel is only one of two of the angels mentioned in all of the Bible. There's Gabriel and Michael, this special messenger sent by God to talk to this young lady because she's going to have a big role in all of this. Now, note takers, get ready. Jesus, number one, Jesus is irreplaceable. Jesus is irreplaceable because he's great. Jesus is irreplaceable because he's great. Now, growing up, my grandma always used to tell me I was great, right? "Jeffrey, you're so great," she would say. She would always say that. It was like this thing that she just had for me where she just always encouraged me and made me feel like I was great. Everybody else, they're not supposed to do that. But your grandma, she does that, right? You'd come over and she just thought you were great. Now, the same thing maybe is true of you. Maybe you think your kids or your grandkids are great, and they probably are, right? They're not perfect, right? Amen? But they're great. They're pretty great. But that's not what he's talking about here. The angel Gabriel isn't coming and saying, "Mary, you're just going to love this boy. He's going to be great," right? No, what he's saying is he's going to be world-renowned. He's going to be history renowned. He's going to be great in power and might and authority. This baby that you're going to have, he's going to be great with a big G, right? Great, great. Jesus is irreplaceable, number one, because he's great. Number two, Jesus, see how quickly that went? You like that, right? Here we go. Number two, Jesus is irreplaceable because he's the Son of the Highest. Look what our text says here in verse 32. "And he will be called the Son of the Highest." Now, who's the highest? Well, Sunday school answer. We're in church, so the highest would be God. Right? Old and New Testament has a phrase for God, the Most High. It will call him, the Bible says it calls him this label, the Most High. So when Mary hears, "Your son is going to be Son of the Highest," she immediately thinks, "Wow, that's God, Son of the Highest." And in fact, Mary, your son will exemplify, will give examples of, as he walks around on the face of the earth, of the living God. He will be like his father, not Joseph, but God, Yahweh. He will be like his father. In fact, Colossians 2:9 says this, "For in him," that's in Jesus, "all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." You're going to want to write that down. Colossians 2:9, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." That's how one he is going to be with the Father. That's how much like his dad he is. All the fullness of deity will dwell in him. Jesus is irreplaceable because he is the Son of the Highest. He's in the same line, in the same family, made from the same essence, the godness. Look at verse 33, and our third, Jesus is irreplaceable because he has a kingdom, or his is the kingdom that will never end. Verse 33, his is the kingdom that will never end. He will be a Messiah prophesied way back in the Old Testament. There's a prophet named Nathan, and he comes to King David. Some of you know King David. He comes to King David, and he says, "I got a word for you from the Lord." Here's what that word is. "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers," King David, in fact, you're going to die at some point, right? "I will set up for you," this is God now speaking through Nathan to David, "I will set up for you a seed after you who will come from your body and will establish his kingdom." Now that sounds very earthly, right? Probably Solomon, right, in his mind. That somebody's gonna, there's a son of mine that's gonna establish a kingdom, right? Okay, makes sense. Verse 13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom. Now here's the part that's interesting. How long? Forever. Well, that can't be Solomon. His kingdom can't last forever. He can't be king forever. There must be someone else. Look what he says. Verse 14. I will be, this is now God speaking, right, to King David through Nathan. He says, I will be this king's father. And he shall be my son. Well, that must speak of a different king that's coming. Because Solomon, I'm his father, right? But this son who's coming, you, Father, God the Father, will be the father of. And look about his kingdom. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him, and with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom, David, shall be established, how long? Forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. In other words, David, there is a king who is coming whose kingdom will last forever and ever and ever. And I will be his father and he will be my son. Isaiah says it like this. For unto us a child is born. You know this, right? Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called, what? Wonderful Counselor, help me with this one, Mighty God? That Isaiah prophesied of a time when this ruler would come, this child would come, and he would be called these names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, his rule, and his peace, there will be no end. Upon whose throne? All the way back in Samuel, right? The son of this seed that will come from you, David, upon that throne of David and of his kingdom to the order to establish of judgment and justice from that time forward, even how long? Forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There is a king who is coming whose kingdom will last forever. Jesus is irreplaceable because he is a king over a kingdom that lasts forever. And did I tell you this? He invites you to be a part of that, right? He invites you into that kingdom. It's an incredible reality, but that's not it. Mary would have asked this question. Maybe you would have done the same thing. Well, how? How in the world am I going to have a baby when I have not known a man? I have not known Joseph in that way in order to conceive. How's that going to happen? Look at verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Logical question. Junior high science class right there maybe. 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One, that little baby inside of you, the one that's going to be conceived, who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Now, here, this is so critical for us to understand that Jesus is irreplaceable because he is the Son of God. There is no other one that's ever been conceived in this manner before. He is both fully God and fully man. That is huge for us to take in this morning, that Jesus comes to earth, he is both fully God and fully man. Conceived like no one else has ever been conceived before. Conceived of the woman and God. That God says, listen, I'm going to do a miraculous work inside of you, Mary, that you're going to conceive of this baby. Why? Because Joseph isn't the dad. Right? Who's the dad? The Holy Spirit. The God. I'm going to be the father of this child. I am the father of this child. Here's what's great about it for us, is that we have a Savior who knows what it's like to be God in all the fullness of deity. And we have a Savior who knows what it's like to be us. Whew, that's powerful. That we know that we have a Savior who, when we come to and we say we are tempted or we are weak, he knows in every way what it's like to walk on the face of this earth just like us. In fact, here's what Hebrews says. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. How important is that about our Savior? That Jesus can sympathize with our fears and our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is what makes Jesus so irreplaceable. That he says, listen, I'm going to be a unique blend, right, of both God and man. Thank you, Lord, for that incredible gift. Look at verse 37, because somebody could say, that's impossible, right? How could that happen? That's not scientifically logical, right? Somebody could say that. Some of you probably are saying that this morning. But then Luke answers it with this, verse 37, for with God, what? Nothing will be impossible, right? Because somebody's mind is, they're reading that, no way, no way, no way. And then he actually says, Elizabeth, right, who's going to be the mom of John the Baptist, the pre-runner of Christ, who people said, you can't have babies. In fact, you're well advanced in your years. He says, even she's pregnant right now, miraculously, right? That even she is going to have a baby. Even though she couldn't, she's going to have one. And then he says, listen, with God, nothing will be impossible. So, if you're a note taker, we've got four down. You're halfway there, right? Jesus is great. He's the Son of the Most High. He's the everlasting King in an everlasting kingdom, which he invites you to be a part of. And lastly, he is the Son of God. He is irreplaceable. Now, turn with our second text, Matthew chapter 1. How many texts were there that we're going to look at this morning? Three. We've got one. Now we're moving to two. Matthew chapter 1. And a second visit from an angel. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Here's what it says. Now with the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before they knew each other, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. We get more insight into that text we just read, how that happened. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly, to move away from that committed relationship. Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, it's of God. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated, God means God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her, super important, verse 25, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. The fifth reason Jesus is irreplaceable is because he saves us from our sins. Do you see that in verse 21? And you shall call his name Jesus, or Yeshua, Jehovah shall save, for he will save his people from their sins. I don't know what is on your Christmas list, what the biggest thing on your Christmas list is this year, right? What is it? Is it something huge and ginormous? Socks, underwear, right? Something big, right? I don't know, whatever is on that list is not bigger than you are forgiven from your sins, right? That is the ultimate gift, that you can have right standing in your relationship with the Creator. That God says, listen, I want to have a right relationship with you, Jeff. I want to break down all the walls and all the barriers that, Jeff, you have put up between us through sin. And I want to break those down and offer you this. A place in the eternal kingdom, a place that where even today you can have right relationship with me. He says, listen, I'm going to send this baby boy. He's going to grow up into a man. He's going to die on a cross. Why? Because I want to be able to, Jeff, to forgive you of your sins. There's nothing bigger in the Christmas season as a gift that he would say, I want to give to you this morning as then forgiveness of your sins. I want to have right standing with you, Jeff. I want to include you in my forever family. I want to break down the walls of separation. Romans 3:22 says it like this. The righteousness is given. It's like a gift. It's given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who what? Believe. We've been talking a lot about that as we've been studying through John. John is like, I just am writing this so you will believe. I just want you to believe, 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 believe. He says it here in Romans. To all who believe, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Here's why. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, each and every one of us. And all are justified freely, it's a gift, by his grace through the redemption that came by this baby we call Jesus Christ. That's an incredible gift. That he's saying, listen, whatever's on your list this Christmas season, whatever your attention or focus on, send your focus and attention here. Knowing that God, the creator of all things, wants a relationship with you. And that happens through faith and belief in Jesus Christ. Look at this text. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. That's pretty plain and simple. Neither is there salvation in any other but this baby Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. By Christ alone. Jesus is irreplaceable because it is through him that we have salvation from our sins. That's an incredible gift. Amen? Incredible gift. Number 6. Jesus is irreplaceable because he is God with us. Do you see what it says there in 23? Behold, the virgin shall come to be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated is God with us. 700 years prior to this moment in the New Testament that we read about this morning, 700 years before that, Isaiah said this in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name, you know, what is it? Emmanuel. Wait for this moment. Wait for this moment. And then Joseph is given this vision of an angel saying, Emmanuel is coming. He's coming in Mary. He's coming and he's going to be born and you will call his name Jesus because he's going to save people from their sins and he will be Emmanuel, God with you. Jesus is irreplaceable because he is Emmanuel, God with us. This is what we see in the New Testament, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, take that in for a second, who being in the form of God prior to coming to earth, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What did Jesus believe? He's equal with God. In essence, in every way, he's equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of you and me. Coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus says, listen, I'm God, but I'm going to come and dwell amongst men. I'm going to be here with men. I'm going to be that great high priest, both God fully and man fully. Jesus is irreplaceable because he is God dwelling among us. One more text. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. You know this. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. Who's the Word? You're okay. Let's try that again. Who's the Word? Jesus, right? All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Dropping down to verse 14. And the Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us, among men. He put on flesh and he dwells among us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is irreplaceable Isaiah said it. The angel in the vision to Joseph said it. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Look at one last text with me. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Remember, three texts, 8 points. We're six in on this. We have two more. We're going to get them from this last text right here. Luke chapter 2. One more account of the first people that get to hear about the coming of Jesus. Listen to how it went down here in verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid, as we all would be. Holy cow, right? Verse 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I don't know if you know this like common trend that's going on these days. They're like gender reveals. Have you heard of that? Where somebody like celebrates, like they throw a ball in the air and they hit it and it turns pink. All right, it's a reveal of what they're going to be having. And then there's birth announcements and these. Nobody can top Mary and Joseph's announcement, right? Nobody's topping the angel that comes from, so pretentious, Mary and Joseph, right? Nobody's going to be able to, angel coming from heaven, and then all of a sudden, a multitude of angels? Like, that's the great reveal, right? A multitude of angels. The Bible would say an army of angels comes and celebrates the coming of this baby. Jesus is irreplaceable, not because of the birth announcement, although that's pretty incredible. Fitting, of, I guess, of our Savior and our Lord. But Jesus is irreplaceable because he is Savior, Christ, and Lord. Do you see that here in verse 11? It says this, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Savior because he's going to save, he's going to deliver, he's going to rescue people from their sins, not just from Rome in the first century, not just from religious leaders. For eternity, he's going to rescue people from their sins. Christ, because he's the Messiah, he's the anointed one of God. Lord. Whew. Lord, because he is going to reign and rule with authority and power. He is God. Last one, Jesus is irreplaceable. Number 8, note takers, we've arrived. Jesus is irreplaceable because he brings God glory and humans peace. Verse 14, the angel says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus comes, and he's going to walk the face of the earth, and everywhere he goes, he glorifies God. He represents him perfectly in righteousness and goodness and compassion, in mercy, in justice. Everywhere he goes, he glorifies God. And you know what his disciples will eventually do as well? Not to the level he did, but they will glorify God as well. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, that we as disciples, we exemplify Christ. We walk around glorifying God. And the angel said, listen, this baby that's coming, Jesus, he's going to glorify God. He's going to make much of his Father. He's going to look like his Father too. And then he says, listen, he's going to bring peace. His kingdom is a kingdom of peace. And not just peace in the home. Well, I believe that happens. Not just peace in the home, but peace between you and God. That where there is warring and fractions, God is going to go ahead and say, listen, I want peace in my relationship with those that put their trust in him. Who gets to receive this glory and peace? Who receives it? Well, look who he comes to. Shepherds in a field, right? Comes to Mary, young girl. He's going to come to wise men, non-Jewish people, outside the Jewish world. He's going to speak to them. He's going to speak to us this morning. He's going to say, listen, that the idea of glory and peace extending now, it's going to go to able to be received by all people. That he's calling you this morning into that glory, into that peace. Here we are. Look at this. This is the Christmas season, right? And you could probably add 20 more things to that list that I missed. We could focus on all these things, parties and baking and shopping and the things of the season that seem to overwhelm us so heavily, right? And again, just a little disclaimer, I'm not against these things, right? I enjoy these things. There's Christmas lights on my house that my wife put up, okay? Because she wants to do it every year and I don't want to stop her. So she puts them up there every year. Maybe my son helps, I'm not sure. But these things could overwhelm the season for us. But what better thing would be if we focused our attention on this, just these handful of texts that we read this morning? That Jesus is great, that he is the Son of the Most High, that he's the perfect priest and king, the high priest, both God and man, full deity. That his kingdom lasts forever, that he's the Son of God, that he's a savior from our sins. What if we focused on that? What if we made that the center of our season? That he is literally Emmanuel, God dwelling with us. That he's Savior, Christ, and Lord. And what if we glorify God in that? What if that become our attention? Now, here's the thing. You could be thinking right now, maybe, I don't even know. Maybe I don't know you. Maybe I don't know. It's the 15th and I haven't thought about Jesus one time. What's going to happen to me, right? That I've made the manger scene filled with blue gummy bears. It's just a bunch of blue gummy bears in there. And I'm just telling you, it's not too late. It's not too late. It's the 15th. And I think we could just refocus again back on why we celebrate Christmas. We can still do those other things, but we don't want to do those other things so they overwhelm the main thing. We don't want to replace what is irreplaceable with things that are replaceable. And what if we just focus back in? So then someone might come to me and say, well, Jeff, if you're really a Christian, you would focus on Jesus all year round. That you would just focus on his goodness and his glory, and he's the Son of God. And I would say, you're so right. You're so right. But see, I'm also a husband. And I should love my wife year round. I should think about her all the time, right? My focus should be on my wife every day, and it really is. So, but there's two times a year that she says, listen, do not forget this moment, right? If you're going to think about me, Jeff, think about me specifically on these two. What are they? Birthday and anniversary. Yes, I love my wife all the time, but there's two times a year where it's like, just don't forget this, right? And the same thing I would say is true of our relationship with Christ. Yes, we should love him. We should make much of him. We should glorify and worship him every day on a regular basis. But there's this one season that comes around where we just focus our attention on the incarnation, on God coming to earth and dwelling amongst man, that we want to make much of that season. Here's the cool thing. You get to do it with the people sitting around you. That I just celebrate. It's really just mine to celebrate with my wife on the anniversary. Like, that's my thing. You don't all celebrate that, right? But together, collectively, we get to celebrate the coming of Christ. So the person who says, well, I do it year-round, Jeff, I'd say, great, keep doing it year-round, but collectively, we get this opportunity to remember what God did for us in the coming of his Savior, his Son. And we will do that through song, and we'll praise and worship. The other thing we get from that is that we get a reminder, unlike I don't get that for my anniversary, but we get a reminder as the season begins to change and the culture around us reminds us, hey, Christmas is here. As believers, we can then say, awesome, let's start thinking on being devoted to this idea that Jesus comes and dwells amongst us. Now, if you're late in the party, that's okay, right? God is gracious and merciful. Thank him for that. I've come up with some ideas. I didn't come up with them, but I have some ideas for you on things you can do to move the season forward. Here, if you're a movie buff, if one of the things you like to do as a family, especially in the Christmas season, is watch all the Christmas movies that are out there, so many of them, by the way, right? Then throw in some movies that focus your family's attention or your roommate's attention on Christ. Like, put some of those movies in there and allow it to minister to you. One of the things that we do in our household, I should just say my wife, she does in our household, I don't want to take credit for this, it's amazing though, Ever since our kids were little, we've had an Advent calendar. And it looks like that on the door. That's not ours, but that looks like it. And she gets bags, and she numbers them 1 to 25. And inside each one of those bags is a Bible verse that pertains to the Christmas account, right? The historical Christmas account. And the kids, even though they're now in junior high, still want to be the ones to open the bags, which is pretty cool. And then they read the text, the Bible passage, and then Bethany always goes and gets like a little Dollar Tree treat that goes in it. So maybe like a pencil that pertains to the text. Or I think this last week there were some socks or something. I'm not sure how she tied that in biblically, but there were socks. Warm manger scene thing. I don't know. But the kids look forward to it. And it's just one way to bring into the home the focus and attention on Christ. Here's another one. Open the word before you open the presence, right? Open the word before you open the presence. That here's this space that we can create. My kids are pining to get to the tree so we can open the presence. Whoa, whoa, let's take a step back. You know, if you're a grandparent, same thing there. That let's just take a moment. And especially if you can sing or you can play the guitar and you can lead some worship songs, that's pretty cool. But in this moment where the intensity is high, and I want to get to those presents. I know what's under there, right? Let's just take a minute and just thank the Lord for the coming of his Savior. That we can just take that space and give it to him briefly, and then we just go and tear into the presence, right? But first, let's just thank the Lord. And I want to read, maybe you read one of the texts that we read this morning out of Matthew or out of Luke, and let's just read this. And the kids, I guarantee you, will be like, oh, come on, hurry, right? But you just say, hey, we're going to give space to the Lord. Advent wreath. Did anybody grow up with an Advent wreath in their church? Okay, so check this out. I thought when I put this in there, people have all heard of Advent wreaths. I grew up in the Lutheran church, Methodist church. We had up on stage a big wreath that they would get every year with candles, just like this. 4 candles, 3 purple, 1 pink. And it's basically just an awareness for the church that we're approaching Christmas. And so we're going to turn our hearts and our minds to Christ, the center of Christmas. And so the first week, you light the first purple candle. Here's the cool thing. You invite a family from the church to come up, and you would get the Bible out, and they would, with their kids all lined up, so cute, right, would read the text together. And it's kind of a way as a family to say, hey, we're going to start focusing our attention in this season towards Jesus. And the pink candle, the one that's different, is on Christmas. You would light that candle. But you could do this in your home, where you just say, listen, every week we're going to light a candle, we're going to read a passage together, so that we can begin, again, putting Jesus at the center of our Christmas holiday. This is for little kids. I think this is, you know, little kids, when they think about birthdays, what do they think of? Birthday cake. So if I have little kids or little grandkids, I'm going to help them understand what this is about. This is about the coming of Jesus. And so we'll create together, we'll be in the kitchen together, we'll make a little cake, and then we're gonna frosting a design, and we're gonna make much of Jesus, right? We're gonna make a big deal. And a little kid's heart and mind, right? What is the thing that speaks to them? Birthday cake, right? So I'm gonna lead them into this, and we're gonna make a cake for Jesus. Here's another one. Go to church. Hey, check that off the list. You already did it. So you're totally prepared, right? Just go, bring someone to church, go to church, begin to say, listen, I'm going to make this season big in my life and in my family. We're going to really focus on what Christmas is all about. There's a couple more that I have for you. One of them, I would say, is in your morning devotions. Grab a devotional that's an Advent devotional. If you have YouVersion, they have a plethora of them that you can look at. It seems like yearly I come back to this one by John Piper that is phenomenal. I just really enjoy it. So I'll go back to that every year and read it on a daily basis. And they're not usually super long, they're short, but they really start your day off focusing on why we even celebrate the season altogether. Decorations, do you have decorations, Christmas decorations in your house? Maybe put some Jesus ones in there, right? Like, I don't know what your graven image view is. Hopefully it's not that radical, but maybe it is, so don't put those in there. But if you are already putting decorations in your home and people come into your home and they see Jesus as part of the main decorations, I would encourage you to do that. Put, kind of balance it out a bit. A nativity scene is awesome, especially for, again, if you have kids, it's like, oh, they want to, especially little kids, they want to bite on Jesus or whatever, right? Little kids, they love that, and they play with it, and they move it around. I remember I used to use the wise men, used to be on the other side of the room, you know, because I was theologically correct. they weren't at the thing when he was a baby. Anyways, just enjoy that, right? Balance out those decorations. Maybe a lawn sign. Some people would put, there's a one in our neighborhood that's of Santa bowing down to Jesus, the manger scene. So, you know, there's that. So just ways that maybe you involve the neighborhood and you say, hey, listen, this home, we're focusing on Christ in this holiday. And one last one, I would just say, like, this season more than any other is a time of loneliness, and sometimes people don't have places to go, and you could invite them over to your home for a meal, just hanging out together, and you can say, this is a Christmas meal, and we're going to read a part of the scripture together, and we're going to pray, and I just want to welcome you into the home in this Christmas season because of who we are in Christ. We're fellowship. This is a fellowship. So I'll encourage you for that. Take whatever ones you want, throw the other ones away and say that's heresy or whatever, but take what you will. I would just say this. If we're not careful, if I'm not careful, it's so easy to do because we're inundated with so many things, right, in the Christmas season. Good things. I mean, the things on the list are good. But if you take your Christmas season, you think, I'm going to fill my life up with these things, then we could miss out on what is central to what Christmas is all about. That there's just a bunch of blue gummy bears all over my season that has taken the place of who Jesus is. And I want to restore him back into the center of the season again. Amen? Would you pray with me? God, I really truly believe that we could get into the 15th of December. I could get into the 15th of December and not thought much about who you are, about glorifying your name, about who you are as the Son of God, as the Savior of my sins. I could get deep into Christmas and not ever have thought of that. Lord, would you change that direction, that trajectory here at Refuge this weekend? Lord, would you just help us, Lord, to understand and to know deeply who you are? And will we just take that conscious effort to focus our attention upon you? Yes, those other things can be fun and they can be great, but this season, Lord, may we just take a really concerted effort to focus our attention on you. May we worship you and praise you and honor you with our families, with our co-workers, with our co-laborers in Christ, with our roommates. May we take that conscious effort to lead the way and focus our attention upon you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.